Welcome to Big Blend Radio's third Tuesday Go to Natchitoches show, where we explore what you can experience in the state of Louisiana's oldest city. Hey everybody, for today's show, we are actually in the American Cemetery in Natchitoches, Louisiana, and we're with Scotty Williams again. Scotty was on our show about a year ago, Scotty?
That
was
sounds
it a year?
About right. I clicked on the link yesterday or this morning to check. It says 1 year ago.
Really? Well, we got good timing.
Yeah.
Good timing. Well, we're actually here. We finally made it. Thank you for taking us on a little tour of what you do every first Friday, right?
Correct. First Friday of every month, 11:30 in the morning, a tour of the American Cemetery.
Well, it's not Friday today, so that's why I really appreciate you coming out. And it's so interesting to go around and look at just how some of the... Are they all tombstones, right?
They're yes.
All tombstones. And headstones would be the same term?
In general, I just say grave markers. You know, a headstone is up at the head of the grave. You have footstones. Tombstones, tomb might be more of a technical definition for somebody, like something that's on a tomb instead of a regular grave. But, grave markers is kind of my go-to term.
Okay, so I want to go to that because that's the first thing you did was show me one of the markers that is an iron cross.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that was the oldest...
It's the oldest marked grave in the cemetery.
Grave that we know from, of, in
yes.
other words.
Oh. I think did we say 1797 was on it. People had likely been buried here long before, because this was the site of the second French fort, Fort Saint-Jean-Baptiste, here in Natchitoches. But what the original grave is here has probably, you know, sunk or been overgrown and disappeared to history. But that grave, Marie-Anne D'Artigo, the oldest marked grave in the cemetery.
Wow.
I think we figured it up at, 226 years?
Wow, that's pretty... I'm feeling young. Yeah, if you want to feel young, go to a cemetery.
Come to an old cemetery.
Well, okay, going back to the term cemetery, too. Mm-hmm. You were telling me the difference between a cemetery, a graveyard, a burial site. I'm like, oh, I just thought they were all the same thing. Apparently not.
It depends on how picky you want to be about things. They're kind of technical terms to somebody. They're interchangeable to other people. A graveyard is a burial site that's on church grounds. It's the yard of graves next to the church. A cemetery can be anywhere. You know, I guess you could say all graveyards are cemeteries, but not all cemeteries are graveyards. Cemetery comes from a Greek word that means sleeping place or resting place.
Well, I think it helps if you're doing your family history research,
yes,
too, to know. So, but this moved, right? So this was the site of the second fort.
This was the site of the second fort. The first fort was a little ways over, I think a bit north of here. Also Fort Saint-Jean-Baptiste, but it had burned down after a battle, so they rebuilt it here. And if you're in Natchitoches, there's a replica of Fort Saint-Jean-Baptiste over on Jefferson Street. It's part of the Louisiana State Parks organization. It is very well done. I really like what they do over there.
But when you go through there and you start to realize how, like, soldiers had to sleep in such tight quarters, and then you think about the heat or the cold, then you're like, okay, that's cool. Well, not really. It's cold. But you think about, it really shows you what the life and times were like. And
yes.
I think it's good for kids to in and get that kind of thing. Now, have you taken kids on cemetery tours?
There have been kids on the tours with their families, but I haven't done a school group or anything like that yet.
That would be, wow. How do you explain? Yes, well, because you've also got some law and order going on here. We just went to the gravesite of the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us.
Theodore Edward Pullman. He was mayor during the 1920s here in Natchitoches. He got on the wrong side of an irate citizen whose medicinal well, and you can't see me doing the air quotes, his medicinal well had collapsed due to something caused by city workers. He was very upset. He demanded restitution and compensation from the city. He personally blamed the mayor for a lot. And I think the city had been willing to give him something, but not everything he asked for. And in November of 1922, he shot the mayor here in the historic district. The mayor died a few days later. Thomas Cropper was the shooter's name. He was convicted and eventually was sentenced to the rest of his life in an institution, shall we say, which was a step up from the death penalty that they'd originally given him.
But you were saying it's interesting that the actual community helped support both families after all of this.
The community stepped up, and you can understand doing it for the victim. You know, always the family has lost their provider. They've lost their husband, their father. So they raised funds for him, but and this is something I had picked up on just a few months ago. They also stepped up for Thomas Cropper's family because, you know, in a sense, they had also lost someone, but they raised money for them to support his family, which you could understand if they had not done so. You could understand if they'd shown great animosity towards his family, like, oh, you're the family of a murderer, y'all can get lost. But no, they were very charitable. They stepped up for both sides.
That's amazing. This is the kind of history you may not always stumble upon unless you go to a cemetery, right? Now you've got Cammie Henry, which she is amazing.
Yes. She's one of the more prominent female figures in really the history of Natchitoches Parish. She was at Melrose Plantation, just south of here, for about 50 years. She and her husband moved there in 1898, and after her father-in-law passed away, she and her husband ran it. She was there for 30 years without her husband. He died in 1918, and Cammie finally passed away in 1948, but she was part historian, part craftswoman, part preservationist. She ran the artist retreat at Melrose, where she invited writers and photographers and painters to do their work there. She put together 256 scrapbooks of local history.
Oh, you got to go see it. People can go to the library.
They can go to the Watson Library, the Cammie G. Henry Research Center. It's the archives up on the third floor. Her scrapbooks were donated to NSU, and that's why the archives are named in her honor.
They're cool. You don't even get to touch them because they're so precious, and it really has like the town gossip.
Yeah.
It does.
They were eventually bound into actual books. If you go down to Melrose, the gift shop was the bindery where all of her scrapbooks were bound.
They should print them.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be a good, like...
replica Cammie Henry scrapbooks.
I know. I would be gone for a month just reading them, you know, because they're cool. They're really fun. So speaking of Melrose Plantation, is a landmark site to come to. You know, this is all part of the Cane River National Heritage Area, which is a huge region. It's almost like Natchitoches Parish in a way.
It's a large swath, and to me, it feels like it gets bigger every few years. But it's part of a designated heritage area.
Yeah.
Of social, cultural, historical significance.
So. Melrose Plantation it's part of the Cane River National Heritage Highway. It's a scenic byway, historic byway. And when you go out there, go to the commissary. They've got good food.
Yes.
But also, you're going to go to Melrose Plantation and then Cane River Creole National Historical Park, which is the landmark that we came here specifically as we do our tour of our Love Your Parks tour. And that has two different plantations. You've got Oakland, you've got Magnolia Plantation. Mm-hmm. And so when we went to Oakland, that takes us to the Brudomes. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly yet.
Yeah, and they probably wouldn't have said Prudhomme. Here, we turned it into Prudhomme.
Oh, okay.
You see the apostrophe
in
the name here. That disappeared in some families. But yes, Jean-Pierre Emmanuel Prudhomme was down at Oakland Plantation. I think he's credited with being the first person in North Louisiana to grow cotton on a large scale. The Prudhommes operated Oakland for over 200 years. It was recognized as a bicentennial farm by the U.S. government. And it's part of Cane River Creole National Historical Park, and Magnolia together. And the Park Service here has an enormous collection of things from Oakland. The museum I'm at, we have some things on loan from them.
Yes.
It helps that the Prudhommes didn't really throw anything away for 200 years.
No, it's true, because when you go into the plantation itself, here's this elaborate mansion, and then you go in the kitchen, And it feels like you're at your grandmother's house. Because it's like back in the 70s almost, right. 60s and 70s.
They interpreted up through the 60s, so you see, oh, look at this old furniture. Oh, look at this old bed. Oh, look at this old thing. Oh, look at the television in the living room.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Where did that come from?
But I love that they interpret exactly how it has been. But I would have thought he would have either been, you know, laid to rest at his plantation, mm-hmm. or even St. Augustine's, mm-hmm. but he came all the way to Natchitoches to be laid to rest.
I'm not sure that the cemeterians, I'd have to check and see when that cemetery was put up. I think 1826, 1829 is when they say the church was built. But the St. Augustine was more for specific members of that community, like the Matwire family and some of their relatives and associates. I mean, I don't know if they...
But that's mostly like a Creole community there, right?
You know, the Prudhams, they bought a plot here in what's now the American Cemetery. I don't know if it was called the American Cemetery when they bought the plot. They just have a family plot here with several graves. Mm. And as we saw walking through, three or four of them are marked for their service in the American Revolution.
Right. It's pretty impressive. And we should say that this is known to be the oldest cemetery in the Louisiana Purchase, though there's a rival competition in New Orleans, and so that's, you know.
Yeah, my to the best of my understanding, and I'm sure there are people who know more, so this is the oldest burial site in Natchitoches, and there's a gate at the entrance that says it's the oldest cemetery in Louisiana.
We're in the oldest settlement,
yes,
too.
This is the oldest permanent European settlement in the Louisiana Purchase. St. Louis Cemetery, number one down in New Orleans, I think also makes the claim that they're the oldest cemetery in Louisiana. And it kind of depends on what you call St. Louis One, according to some people. Because where it was originally built is not where it is now. Depends on how technical you
So where this fort was built is not where it was originally, you know. So everything shifts around in Louisiana. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's swampy.
We always think things stay in one place and they don't always.
Even the Red River doesn't go where it was anymore.
It's dynamited off its original course. And buildings. You know, if you go downtown right now, you'll see the Rock House which is being renovated and restored right now. Oh, well, it was downriver. We think if anything stays in place, certainly houses and buildings will stay in place, but they get moved around too.
Hey, it's true.
And graves get moved around.
Yeah, in a respectful way, usually.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. So, and here we've got a moving cat.
Yes,
so we've got a cemetery cat.
This cat has been on several of my tours.
Oh, it's very cool. I think he's the bed and breakfast cat. And there's the bed and breakfast behind
here. Yes, the Samuel Guy House is right next to the cemetery.
Okay.
So you have quiet neighbors if you decide to stay at the Samuel Guy House.
Very well done. Well done. All right, so we've got the Prudhomme history here. Mm-hmm. I do want to get to Mr. Sibley, because Dr. John Sibley, to mm-hmm. me, is just this amazing. His history, there's a like a pocket park area mm-hmm. overlooking Cane River Lake with sculpture, like a bust of him, and some of his history, and it's pretty amazing what he did. But he is not Sibley Bird Books, just saying. But you never know. I'm gonna have to look that up. You never know if it's a distant relative.
Connections pop up in unexpected ways. Yes, he was originally from Massachusetts. He was a physician's assistant during the Revolutionary War. Came to Natchitoches, and he was appointed by Thomas Jefferson as the Indian agent for this part of the United States. It's kind of his job to go up and down Red River, post-Louisiana Purchase, to figure out, you know, what has the United States just bought here? Who's here? What's here? What are the resources? You know, native tribes that we're going to be dealing with. And eventually that was published in a report by the War Department. But he was also a justice of the peace, a judge, a state senator, captain of the local militia.
He was very bored. He didn't do anything with his life at all.
Had always had to be doing something.
But that's when you're talking about the Indian population, so that goes over to the Caddos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that Natchitoches is also on what is the historic Jefferson Highway that goes from Winnipeg to New Orleans, and Nancy and I have done a lot of the highway, and we're going to be... Part of it is Marshall, Texas, which isn't mm-hmm. far, which we'll be going to tomorrow, but y'all will, you this is airing later than tomorrow, but, mm-hmm. And Marshall, Texas has a cool courthouse, so we have to go check that out. But they're also home to Caddo Lake, and that's something we want to go back to. We've been to the National Wildlife Refuge, and it's swampy looking for gators, but didn't see any. But so I'm wondering about, is that kind of like a branch off from the Caddo Indians on this side? I mean, because that's kind of, now we're on that border of Texas, south of Shreveport, kind of.
Right. Well, so, you know, Shreveport's in Caddo Parish, named after the Caddo Nation. When I think of Caddo, I don't think of a specific tribe. Because there was sort of again, people know more about that than I do. But the Nacogdoches and the Nacogdoches tribes were both tribes affiliated with the greater Caddo Nation.
Okay.
So there could have been the Caddo, but also different tribes within Caddo
Nation. It's like we have the Diné that are Navajo, but it's like the Navajo Nation. Mm. And so there's like different sects.
Sometimes you'll see Caddo Adai.
ADA. Yeah. I've seen that. Okay.
So, yes.
So they're more on the Manny side of Louisiana, like Toledo Bend area, from what I don't know either, but I just find it, you know, to connect. And so I have to bring you back to the name Nacogdoches and Nacogdoches and Nacogdoches. So you want to give everyone that little story?
So there's an old story, an old legend maybe, about how Nacogdoches got its name. And it says that Chief Caddo had two sons who were always fought when they were growing up. And when they got old enough, he put them back to back and told them to start walking. And where Nacogdoches stopped is now the town of Nacogdoches, and where Nacogdoches, Texas is, where Nacogdoches stopped is now where Nacogdoches, Texas is. And Nacogdoches is the oldest city in Texas.
See? So there it is. That's a long walk, you know. It's part of the El Camino Real de las Tejas National Historic Trail as well. And you know, speaking of history, tell everyone you're part of the Louisiana State Museum, or you're part of the Louisiana
Louisiana Sports State Museum.
Okay.
Owns the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame and Northwest Louisiana History Museum. We're at the north end of Front Street, 800 Front Street, where the bricks come to an end. We've been there since 2013. We're open Tuesday through Saturday. Sell tickets from 10 to 4.
And it's cool because you got sports history, then you've got the whole, like, you know, the whole area history. I think it's something really cool to do is when you first get here is go on the walking tour with the Cane River National Heritage Area.
Oh, yes.
Free walking tour. Come see Scotty after that. Right? And go up into the museum. I think that kind of gives you an idea. So when you go to all these, where you're driving around and looking, you have a little bit of a idea of who, you know, settled here.
Yes. And so some people will come in and say, well, what is this place? And I tell them, oh, well, I'm not really into sports. And I was like, well, you know, the entire second half of the name of the museum is about our history section. Mm-hmm. So if you're not a sports person, there's still something for everybody.
And it's a cool building too.
Yes.
The architecture is crazy, and they've got a cool car in there too.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue about sports, but I found it interesting going through. You know, because it's about people's achievements.
Right.
You know, so that's a special thing. Okay, so let's go to John Gideon Lewis Sr., because talk about a man of achievements.
Yes, I think he was originally from Ontario and moved to Nacogdoches around the turn of the 20th century. He was an educator. He was a community leader. I think he was the most worshipful Grand Master of the Prince Hall Order of Freemasons in Nacogdoches. And he has the only mausoleum in the cemetery. So his grave stands out, you know, a lot compared to some others. And he's sort of up on a hill. He's got a nice little view from where
he
is.
There he is. We can see him from here. Well, okay, so when we talk about a mausoleum, so is there a bunch, like, I've never seen on the inside of a mausoleum ever. So is there, like, his graves in there and then a bunch of space, or is it like a big, fat piece of rock with his?
I think that they can...
Look, I want to open the doors. Don't you want to open the doors?
Very, I'm happy to leave him where he is.
I know. I don't want to. You open the door and he pops out. That's not cool.
So I think there is room in there maybe to maneuver around a little bit, because if it was built and then later they had to put his body in, you need some room to move around in there. But if you look over, there are some openings on the side to allow air to go in and out.
Because, he's got a breathing chamber.
Because
that's
if you just seal it up, gases are going to build up on the inside and maybe crack things open.
Oh, that's not good.
No. Don't want that to happen.
Wow. But so he really did a lot.
Yes. An important... certainly an important civic leader, you know, as an educator and, you know, the official of an important organization.
And that ties to the Legacy Cafe, the gentleman behind that.
Oh, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I want to learn more about him. And you were saying, and I totally forgot that he was also, he had a funeral home.
Yes, he ran the Winfield Funeral Home, which...
Is that for Winfield Parish then, even though he lived here?
I'm sure there's a connection. I don't know the exact I don't know the exact business connection though. But he was also a civic leader, very influential businessman, involved in local politics, and he, you know, in a lot of cases, maybe the person who ran the funeral home that served the African American community became very important and very influential and very wealthy in some cases.
So Leopold.
Yes.
Kasparri. Wow.
Yes. So there's a Kasparri Street right over a block or two that way. He was a businessman. He had, I think, a riverboat that brought cotton up on Cane River.
Oh, when it was a river.
When
it was
Cane
flowing
River
here.
Was still navigable and connected to Red River. He was a member of the Louisiana House of Representatives, and he was one of the people who was influential in getting Louisiana State Normal School, which is now Northwestern State University, put here in Natchitoches.
That's a big deal.
Back in 1884, they had voted to create the school, but they didn't have a specific place for it. Well, Leopold Kasparri and Alexander Samparak, who's also buried here, they negotiated to have it put here in Natchitoches. And NSU is such a big part of the city and the community now that, you know, it's tough to overlook or overestimate the impact that's had over the last, I don't know, 140-something years.
Well, it's also a resting place, an original resting place for folks traveling the Jefferson Highway would go camp out there. You know, I was thinking about that, like, you know, this was started in 1915, and here they're coming in those old cars and camping, and you know there were gators out there and mosquitoes. I mean, think about it. They were doing it in the summer, and I'm going, that's, you know, it all sounds nice now, but I wonder, like, how was that feeling,
know,
to be part of that? Now, the one gentleman I wanted to talk about has two graves, and I thought this was something interesting for folks, especially doing genealogy, looking at their family history, because sometimes you go to a graveyard or a cemetery, and it's like, this isn't making sense, or you may think it's two people if you're not reading it straight, like me.
Right.
And so tell us about that young man.
Oh, so Stephen Grant Dowden, or Stevens Grant Dowden, depending on what marker you're looking at. His grave is along near 2nd Street right over here. And one of his headstone is a family marker. And his footstone is a veteran's marker for his service in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. The Veterans Administration will give a veteran's grave for people who served. There are a couple of differences on the two markers. His family marker says that he is Stevens, with an S, Stevens Grant Dowden, was born in 1846. But his military marker says that he's Stephen Dowden, and was born in 1843. And if you sort of look at it and wonder why there's a discrepancy, who's right, who's wrong, the likely story is that if he were born in 1846, then in 1861 he would have been 15 years old, when the Civil War was going on, starting. But if he lies and says, I'm 1843, I'm 18 years old, he's old enough to join up with the Confederate Army and fight in the war.
Wow. It's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
That's, you know, I always think about the little drummer boys and that are out there, you know, like, I think that's scary.
But when you think, you know, the survival of your entire country is at stake, Some people pull out all the stops.
But as
they
kids...
They don't have the luxury of holding anybody back.
As kids, we used to run around and play, you know, Wild West and things like that. And you know, you think about it, you're a little younger than that. But, I mean, you've just got to think. These are kids, you know, it's just a different time and working harder. I think kids were also, you know, tending to the land with their families, too. Mm-hmm. Kids weren't just playing around in the dirt.
Right.
You know, so... Well, thank you so much for the tour. I appreciate it so much, and learning so much about you know, you see different symbols. That's the other thing. So many symbols on, you know, the tombstone, the gravestones, and art. And so it's really, it's cool to take a walk in a resting place.
Yes. And it's an out, I think of them as outdoor museums. You know, even every cemetery is an outdoor museum. Some cemeteries have been consecrated as holy ground, you know, specifically for the purpose of, you know, a resting place for deceased loved ones. And I, you know, would hope that people would treat the site with the respect and the consideration that it deserves, and you know, keep it clean, keep it quiet, and just remember that they are for everybody. You know, the dead have, you know, don't have many concerns anymore. So cemeteries are really for us. They're to remember and reflect and recognize what's come before us.
Look at all the stories just from this walk, you know. So, again, appreciate it so much. And when you come to Natchitoches, go to Natchitoches.com to learn more about the region. It's very historic, and Front Street is like, it's like a mini New Orleans in a way, but it's quiet.
I do hear some people compare it to a cleaner French Quarter.
There you go. Because you've got the wrought iron and the brick street, and it's just beautiful out here any time of year. Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks so much.
Can't turn it off. Thank you for joining us on our Big Blend Radio Go to Natchitoches show. Keep up with us at BigBlendRadio.com and plan your adventure in Natchitoches. Go to Natchitoches.com. That is Natchitoches.com, Natchitoches.com.